Here the Turtle is presented by Toyota. Toyota helps you get the most out of your drive. Just ask a friend who drives one. Shop buyatoyota.com, Toyota's official website for deals, to find the Toyota that's right for you. Toyota, let's go places. It's Friday, September 18th, 2020. It's Hear the Turtle, presented by Toyota. And Keith, on Monday's show, we talked about, will there be some sports? Will there not be some sports? We don't have any information. What's the information? Well, now we've got some information. And that information is that Big Ten football is back. The announcement Wednesday morning, the biggest story in sports that day, that the Big Ten will return to action October 24th and 25th. For the opening games, we don't have a schedule set yet for what those matchups are going to be, to play a 9-game schedule that will include essentially 8 regular season games, and then a 9th game that will be, you know, the Big Ten Championship, and then we'll play cross-divisional matchups based on division finish. We'll play 2, 3 will play 3, 4 will play 4, and so on. This includes an update in rapid testing. It includes enhanced practice protocols, an entire thing. Keith, you can take the listeners through some of that. But first, your initial impression is just of football being back in the Big Ten, and Maryland sports will be happening here in 2020.
I mean, what a swing of emotions it's been, you know, frankly, over the last 6 months, but since August when the news broke that there would be no fall Big Ten football season. And then we see other college football kicking off throughout the country, the ACC, the military academies, different conferences in different parts of the country who were playing games and seemingly able to do it safely, able to do it following protocols and not hearing of any extreme outbreaks or, positive testing situations. So, you know, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, man, I wonder what this Big Ten Council of Presidents and Chancellors group is looking at and thinking about in terms of bringing football back in the Big Ten. And did their due diligence, you know, spent the time, you know, since that initial announcement in August of, you know, meeting what seemed like daily or, you know, twice a day at times, I'm sure, and more than that, to try and come up with a plan to return Big Ten football. And, I mean, the reaction is just excitement, man. I'm as excited as every other, you know, football fan in the Big Ten across the country that we're going to have a different looking and I'm sure very unique football season starting in late October.
Yeah, there will be no fans at any of the Big Ten games. That is one of the sticking points of the medical protocols. So obviously that is tough, but that has been sort of the norm as we've watched sports go on here since the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic. The biggest game changer, it seemed like, for the Big Ten was the ability to obtain daily testing. And everyone involved, staff and student athletes at those football programs, will undergo daily testing as they head into the seasons. So that will allow, if there are positive tests, for those cases to be isolated more and for contact tracing to be more easily obtainable. So to isolate further people that could have been around the people that were afflicted. Obviously, this could go a bunch of different ways. The Big Ten is trying to play 9 games in 9 weeks. So there is no built-in buys as there were going to be when the schedule was initially announced about a little over 40 days ago before it was postponed. So that doesn't allow a lot of time like what just happened with Virginia and Virginia Tech, where they postponed a game till December 12th that they were supposed to play earlier in the year based on some things that happened on both of those campuses with COVID. So obviously, we are excited for this to happen, but there's always in the back of the mind the idea that it's not like Major League Baseball where they were, you know, the Orioles and Rays are now playing 5 games in a weekend because of how things have gone. That can't happen in college football. So that is certainly something and a caveat to keep in the back of everyone's minds. But it seems like the Big Ten presidents are happy enough with what they see from a data standpoint and saw other football programs that you said, and the NFL have gone off pretty well. There's been some issues a little bit in college football, but the NFL went off without a hitch this week. And that's obviously a different league and a different situation, but that's what the Big Ten's going to try to do. The thing I'm most happy for is the student athletes who get to go back out there and play. Obviously, none of the other fall sports at this point are going to be scheduled to play any games, and we'll hope to hear news on that soon. The other news we got on this on that Wednesday was that the men's and women's basketball seasons will begin on November 25th. That was welcome news for those two teams. It felt like a good day in college athletics for those sports to be coming back. Whether necessarily you believe they should or they shouldn't, for those dates to be set for those kids is awesome. And we'll see how it goes. I mean, as you and I have talked about, I think throughout this in both conversations on this show and private conversations, this is so fluid and changes so much every day that you just kind of don't know. But at this point, the Big Ten is going to try to play football. We don't know that first opponent or any of the opponents of how they're going to go for in order for the Terps. But they're going to play and got out to practice. And from what I saw, I was not down there, but saw some of the things coming out of there. Just so much good energy there, Keith. And you're just happy for those guys.
And we heard about that good energy from our guest today, Brian Cobbs, who, you know, has described, you know, the situation that he's gone through over the 6 months with us just as, you know, just fluid, like you said, like just not knowing when you're going to play, what you should be working towards, having a date, and just having that date now to refocus on that October 24th, October 25th date for the start of your fall football season. You know, it's what a morale booster it is for those guys, for, you know, his teammates, you know, the guys in that wide receiver room who've been doing their best to try and keep that chemistry alive during this time when you're not practicing formally. You've got to go find a place to throw the ball around when team activities aren't up and running. So excited for him and excited to see that hopefully this fluid situation has some stability as we get into the next couple months.
For sure. And I have to give it up to the guys in the football program. There have been positive cases within athletics and that program, but they have done really a great job. And Mike Locksley has talked about that, sticking to the protocols, being responsible. Look, sometimes you can stick to all the protocols and things still happen, but it really seems like that team has done a good job. And Mike Locksley said that at his press availability with a lot of conviction. I believe in all the protocols we've gone through. I love how our guys have stuck to it. Even as you said, Keith, with no necessarily target date in mind, and that's tough. And Brian really talked about that and how tough that was mentally at times to not have that target date and still try to stick to it. But they did a great job. Also have to give it up to our medical staff who is led by Dr. Yvette Rooks and the trainers and all those people down there. That is a tough job to try to keep 18 to 22 year olds within the sort of frame of what they're supposed to do and to carry out all the things they've had to. Dr. Rook spoke really eloquently about all that stuff. Look at her quotes from her Wednesday press availability. I want her to come on this show and talk to us because she's so great. And so we'll see if we can make that happen to kind of describe the processes. But they've done a great job, so I want to shout them out. But as you said, our guest this week, Brian Cobbs. And Keith, one of the good guys, man. Like, Brian Cobbs is like one of the good dudes in this program. Like, I that's like a cliche, but as you said, he's always smiling.
Always. We'll get into this more, you know, in the pod. I'll save it for the pod, but saw him this morning bright and early. He's smiling, man. He's ready to go. Like, I think, like, I was probably looking like a zombie, you know, my frown on my face, but B. Cobbs is ready to hit it for 6 a.m. workout.
Yeah, he's awesome. And we talked to Brian about a variety of things. Obviously, as Keith said, we talked about this whirlwind of the last 6 months from the cancellation of spring ball to all the stuff that happened in the summer. Chatted with him about the season coming back and that emotion. And then, which was great, we talked football, how it is for him to now be a vet in that wide receiver room, some of the new additions and his impressions of those guys, and just the overall excitement to now have a start date for him and his teammates to go out and play football together. So let's get to our interview with Maryland wide receiver, Brian Cobbs. We're back here on Hear the Turtle, presented by Toyota, and I'm smiling, Keith is smiling, our guest Brian Cobbs is smiling, Maryland football is back, we bring on wide receiver Brian Cobbs, and I first have to say this, is not the first time Brian and Keith have seen each other today. You guys saw each other early in the morning this morning, so I'll just let you guys up and just sort of talk as friends here now, as seeing each other multiple times in a day.
Right. So Taylor, I was working the student athlete screening tent in front of Gossett Team House this morning, bright and early, 5:30 a.m. And Brian rolls up, and I said, you know, Brian, I guess I'll see you in 12 hours. We were recording this at 6:30 p.m. On Thursday evening. Brian, did you get that nap in before this interview or today at any point?
I actually didn't. So we were kind of busy. We had to head out to Baltimore to do some COVID screening. So didn't get the nap and everything, but.
Brian, you're a stronger man than me because you worked out this morning. You came up to Baltimore, went back to College Park, had practice, and are now talking to us. I'll admit it, I did get the nap in. Okay, 2 o'clock. I think I was in bed, like.
Get a couple hours.
Yeah, there you go. Early night for you. And I got to ask, you've done a lot of these screenings now. You get your temperature checked. You get your pulse read, all those things. Yeah. You're doing these questionnaires. How did myself and my colleague Sean Ellenby do in terms of speed, in terms of keeping the line moving? How would you rate our performance there at the table this morning?
Hey, 10 out of 10. I would have never knew you guys were new. 10
out of 10. Wow.
That's the boost I needed today, Brian. I thought you did a pretty good job, but you're doing this every day, so you know the speedy tables from the slow ones. Okay.
Me and Maryland PR guru Dustin Semenovic make our debut in a couple weeks. So we will see if we can live up to Keith and Sean. Brian, describe to us not only the last 2 days, which have been a whirlwind, but really the last 6 months, from spring practice being canceled to you guys coming back, ramping it back up to try to play a normal season. The Big Ten can't or postponing the season, and then now bringing it back. You have sort of been one of the leaders on this team throughout this. What has it been like for you to have these stops and starts? And now finally, as you talked with us beforehand, you have that target now again.
Yeah. Well, roller coaster would be an understatement. Definitely it's been hard because the date when we had this, when we started with the set date, going back to spring, had the quarantine and everything, didn't know what was going to happen. We never thought that the season would get postponed at all. We didn't think that kind of COVID would be as serious as it is now. So going through summer workouts and everything, having that pause was kind of like a big realization to everybody that we need to be smarter and do the right things. Being that we had, I think, maybe like 7 guys on the team that contracted it. But after that, we went into the bubble, being in the hotel. So we stayed in the hotel, just focusing on the right things, making the sacrifices that we need in order to play football. Coming back, didn't have a target date yet, but we were able to go into like 7-on-7 type workouts and things of those natures. So still focusing on the right things. And then I'd say in the last like 3 months, when it's been suspension and resume, then suspension and resume, that's kind of been a little frustrating, but it kind of allows us to see what guys are in and then just what we need to do to refocus to get where we need to be as a team. So
what was your initial reaction when the season was canceled in August? Well, how much of a sort of a gut punch was that, with also the realization that maybe everything was going to go that way with how COVID was going?
Honestly, like I said, I didn't think it was going to get to that point. So definitely the whole receiver room was mind blown when we first found out. And it was really frustrating because it's like, we go through the whole entire winter, don't get spring ball, come in the summer, put in so much work with the quarterbacks, trying to get the offenses back in track and everything. We were doing Zoom meetings when we were quarantined at home for hours at a time during the days. So, like, putting in all that work and then not having it feel like it was going to be able to get paid off, that was a real kind of like demoralizing feeling. But had to refocus and just get back and control all that we could control for real.
You know, and how did you approach that news in early August? Did you just try – you'd already been doing it for so long, but you just try to, like, stay on task, stay ready, keep working out, keep doing the things to you had to do with the hope that maybe something like this could break and that you would have a schedule come up once again in the fall?
Yeah, I mean, with it being canceled, we didn't know if – maybe they were going to come back and move us to a later start date, kind of like how the SEC did, or if we're just going to have to wait and play till January. But like we put in, we felt as an offense and as a whole team, we put in too much work to kind of just stop and get away from football. So a lot of the guys stayed in College Park, kind of got together at surrounding fields, doing as much as we could, whether that be 7-on-7 or even just throwing the ball around, keeping the chemistry up, and just doing anything that we could do to stay like as a tight-knit team and not lose any of the work that we've been putting in.
On the flip side, Brian, what was the emotion the last 48 hours as you realized that the season is now coming back?
Well, I smile right now. Last night I was probably – it hit me. I didn't really know what to think about. I was excited. I didn't really know what to think. But, like, the last 2 hours after finding out, I couldn't stop smiling. So, we don't have our full season yet, but just having a target date, that's the probably most exciting thing that's happened in, like, a long time with canceling and resuming everything.
What was the energy like on the practice field today? Just being back out there and now having like a date to work towards, a goal to you know, be striving to.
Yeah, super high. We have been out on the field the past 2 to 3 days, so it had been high then, but you could definitely feel a different type of energy out there today. Both sides kind of jaw-jacking at each other, so it was really fun today being out there. Rained a little bit. We had to move inside, but competition, defense is making plays, offense is making explosive plays. So just the back and forth, that's the thing that we need to see all season.
Brian, I'm interested. Coach Loxley's talked so much about how committed you guys have stayed to the protocols and the things that you guys have had to do through all of the ups and downs throughout this process.
Yes, sir.
How as a team did you guys sort of hold yourselves accountable? Because the coaches can do whatever they want, but you guys are away from them for a lot of this time because you're not in practice. Yeah. You're working out on your own. How did you guys, and especially the leaders of the team, kind of keep everyone accountable and say, look, guys, we've got to stay focused on this. We've got to keep doing the things we need to do, social distance, wear masks, use sanitizer, all the different things we've heard about. Mm-hmm. How did you guys do that as a group?
Biggest thing was kind of scheduling football-related things to just keep the free time out of people's schedules. Because I feel like if we got away from that and people had time to maybe go to the beach, get out of town, those type of things, then COVID could have surged into a bigger problem within our team. So staying on top of football-related things, keeping a goal in mind, we're trying to turn the program around. So we can't do that if we don't have a team due to losing players that have contracted COVID. So just kind of staying in the young guys' ears, holding the older guys accountable and stuff like that. That's really all it took. It wasn't too hard. I'm really proud of the guys and how they bought in. So.
Brian, how strange has this semester been just on campus at Maryland? You know, the college experience is obviously altered during a period like this. I mean, how have you been handling it? How have you been just trying to make your own way through this thing?
Very different. There's still people around, but definitely not as lively as how it would be during a regular semester. And honestly, it's definitely easier to focus. We have our online classes, so I'm in my room for most of that time. There's no distractions outside of the campus. And then, again, we can't really be – if there are distractions, we can't be involved in those because that takes away and could risk us getting COVID. So that's not what we need. And the guys are doing a good job of just staying in the room, staying to themselves, and just putting themselves in the best position to stay healthy.
Have you jumped in any of the social distancing circles that have been painted on McKeldin Mall? Have you been able to sit in any of those?
I haven't. I haven't even had to go into McKeldin Mall, actually. So
see, that's what's so wild is it's so like, you know, like one place to one place. You're not like going around campus. That just continues to be wild to me as someone that's not even on campus really at all.
And that was so routine last semester, like having all my classes going back between Gossett and crossing McKeldin Mall to go to my different classes. Now it's like I go from my apartment to Gossett and back. That's pretty much my routine, daily routine.
That's so wild. Let's talk about football here. You're now one of the veterans in this wide receiver room, which is crazy. DJ Turner transfers to go play at Pitt. Obviously wish good luck to him, former guest on this show. But now you and guys like Jayshon Jones, you're kind of the veterans in that room with a lot of young talent. What do you see out of your specific position group over this entire time, and how are you sort of leading those guys that have so much talent?
Well, definitely a new level of explosiveness. If you guys ever get a chance to come out to practice, you'll see it from the first drill, from 1 to 13 guys that we have, it's incredible that, one, they were able to pick up the offense as fast as they did, and two, that they dedicated themselves to put in the work, and three, just being able to play at a high level. It's a big game speed shift from high school to college, and them jumping into it right away and not getting, like, stage fright, deer in headlights type thing. There was none of that. They jumped in, made plays from day one. So I'm just being a leader, keep telling them to, like, stay on the finishing edge, don't kind of burn out throughout practice, just keep the energy high. And it's not too hard to do when, like I said, practices have been high energy, going back and forth with the defense. And all the guys that we just brought in with this new recruiting class, as well as the guys that we have, we're all huge competitors. So it's not too hard to kind of get us riled up.
Brian, two super high-profile guys that you're working directly with joining the program, Talia Tungalaivoa and Rakim Jarrett. I'll start with Talia. What's it been like just to get acquainted with him, his style of play, the way he throws the ball? What has been your impression of him since he's made it to College Park?
Stepped in. Wasn't shy of kind of taking control from right away. In our 7-on-7s, knowing the offense early, knowing where to get guys, kind of just building that trust relationship outside of football. If it wasn't having organized 7-on-7s, we'd be hitting him up, he'd be hitting us up. Let's just go play catch, like throw the ball around, have conversation, and just kind of build that trust. And then now when we're working in practice, there's like you can see a new level of chemistry. Like say he goes to scramble out the pocket, we know where he wants us to be, he knows where we're going to be. So having that type of connection is real important, and I'm happy that we've been able to get that started.
How do you watch him and Lance sort of push each other as two guys that obviously want to be on the field and that want to prove it? And, Talia obviously sat behind guys at Alabama. Lance sat and got a little time last year, but those guys both want to play. What have you watched those guys sort of make each other better?
The biggest thing is just like, it's like a 1-2 punch kind of thing where not one of them is not like getting mad when someone else makes the play. It's like, they're both huge weapons on offense. One of them will make a huge throw, then the next series, when the other one comes in, right back at it. So it's like keeping that competitive nature, but like friendly competitive nature going throughout practice. That's been a real big thing going on. So I'm happy to see that.
And then Keith touched on it. Rakim Jarrett is obviously the highest profile recruit to come into the class. You've got some underrated wide receivers coming in behind him too in that same class that we're going to hear their names and talk about. But specifically, Rakim is a 5-star local guy who made the decision to come to Maryland on signing day. What have been your initial impressions of him?
Kid loves the work from day one. He came in a little quiet at first, but he's gotten real comfortable. Always hit me up to get some extra work in. So I know, no question, after practice, we're getting work in. Knew the offense real early. Very creative in terms of route running, and then real strong at the catch point. So having him in the game, having him on the field, is just, like I said, another added threat. And very excited to see him evolve throughout the season and just work with him every day.
Brian, the last time we had you on, we asked you, what do you think you were better at than any of the other guys in the receiving room? And you were like, hey, I think I got the best hands. Now, are any of these young guys trying to come for the crown? Are you still taking that?
Hey, my title still stands.
So. Has anybody threatened you? Is anybody trying to take it from you?
No.
There it is. That's a confident guy.
That's the confidence you want to hear. That's the confidence you want to hear.
Brian, for yourself, and we talked to you obviously last year going into that game against Penn State, and you guys were really proven so much as an offense, and obviously that one didn't go your way, and then you were kind of up and down the rest of the year. For you personally, how have you seen yourself on the field get better over this time where, obviously you're not able to play in practice, but you guys seem to be getting so much work. I've seen it on social media throughout the summer. You guys are out there throwing and catching and getting out there on whatever blade of grass you guys can find, it seems like to get that work in. And I know I got a video of you, even at your house in your basement, I think just doing like dips on a machine there. And that was like the first video that our video person Haley sent me of guys doing offseason work. I was like, that's my guy Brian Cobb's getting the work in. What has been your mentality through this time in terms of getting yourself better?
Just not taking any days for granted, because with this COVID thing, you don't know how it can affect people. So first things first, trying to move smart about things, not putting myself in jeopardy to contract COVID. But then after that, just coming to work every day. I know the biggest thing I feel like I needed to work on from last year was just improving overall speed. So strengthening my lower body, working on quickness. And then as a receiving core, Coach Joker Phillips really worked just teaching us defense, understanding defenses, understanding where the defense is lined up pre-snap, seeing things before they're going to happen so that we don't have to get caught up if we react late and things like that. And I think that's when that's probably took us like the greatest distance as far as the receiver core, because you can see it out there. We know where to be. And like I said, that chemistry with the quarterbacks, it really helps them out when we can put ourselves in a better position and get open for them.
Brian, I know just looking at your social media, you've been big on the social justice conversations that have become a part of our country since June.
Yes, sir.
You attended the March on Washington a few weeks back. And why was it important to you to attend that and to kind of be involved in a lot of these conversations that are so important?
Yeah, it's been an issue for so long. And I feel like with COVID and everything, now it's like really kind of being magnified and really being brought to light. I wasn't able to get out to a lot of the marches early on due to fears of COVID and stuff like that. But being that this was the March on Washington, kind of the anniversary of Martin Luther King's March on Washington, we had some free time. And I felt like earlier that day, too, we had a team meeting talking about social justice and stuff. So I felt like what better time to get out to something good like that, see as many guys I can get out there and just experience something for the better outside of myself and just – for the better of like human nature. Like that's the biggest thing. So being out there is a real breathtaking experience. And it was just really exciting to see so many people, like a vast number of people all there for the right purpose. So
I was going to ask, you guys have had these conversations now as a team for all this time and not necessarily always together. I'm sure it's over text or over Zoom or however it may be. And when this all stuff initially happened, you guys had an amazing statement about how you guys are going to help the community and all those different types of things. How do you feel like this has helped you guys grow as a team almost as well to have tough conversations? Because that's the tough thing sometimes for people in the world. And sometimes a team environment is the best place for that to happen. How have you guys kind of grown and learned about each other to try to then go out and go to things like the March on Washington and help people kind of learn as you guys do as a team?
Definitely a new sense of trust. Because like you said, having those uncomfortable conversations, guys may not feel like they kind of want to speak up at times, but a lot of the guys who necessarily aren't Black, they've spoken up and been vulnerable to the fact of seeing what's happening, just letting us know that they do see what's happening. They're not turning a blind eye to it. So we appreciate that as a Black community and or as a minority community. And like I said, just no matter what color any of us are, we're a diverse team, just all the guys being vulnerable together, that builds a new sense of trust. And I feel like that goes a long way in terms of chemistry and then getting on the field. Like, no matter, like I said, no matter what color they are, they're my brother. And I know that we're all going to fight together. So that's the biggest thing.
Brian, the last time we talked to you, to turn to a little bit of a lighter subject, you had not eaten at Marathon Deli, which is stunning.
I did it.
Wow.
When did you go? How long ago?
Maybe two and a half weeks ago. Actually,
two and a half weeks ago?
No, that was maybe the third time.
Okay. So
this time off, I've gotten over there.
So what, have you stuck with the same thing or have you kind of like sampled around a little bit?
Pretty much stuck with the same thing. I saw some, so basically the fries with the chicken on, grilled chicken on top with the marathon sauce. So that's kind of been like my go-to late night snack.
Taylor, I re-listened to our interview with Brian from last year, and that was at the tail end. And I figured he said he's going to go. I don't know, man. I don't know if he's going to come through for us. We'll might have to grill him again. And look at this. Been three times.
I got it done.
You got it done.
That's huge. That's huge. And at a time when, there's not many people at Marathon. So really, it's not that crowded. You can hit it over there and get it whenever you want. God, that makes you want Marathon Deli so bad. That is just I'm dying. I haven't eaten anything in a while. I need some Marathon Deli. Brian, we'll get you out of here in a few rapid fire questions. First, the artist you've listened to, you were listening to during the quarantine.
I probably have to say Moneybagg Yo.
Okay. There you go.
Favorite show that you streamed or watched over the last 6 months?
Believe it or not, I was still on, the Naruto cartoon show.
You're still going.
Still going on the end?
Yeah, I just finished it up. It's a long series. So
what's the final verdict? Is it all Chig talked it up to be?
Yeah, for sure. Wow. For sure. I started watching Black Mirror, so that's the show I'm on.
There you go. Black Mirror. That's a good one. Shout out to Chig. We need to get Chig back on here to get his update about like how many comics he read during quarantine.
I'll let him know. It had to have been a lot. A new one like every week.
And then we'll get you out of here on this. Obviously, we had you on and we asked your favorite place to eat in College Park. But obviously, you were home during a lot of this. So everyone was eating home cooked meals. Your favorite home cooked meal?
Favorite home cooked meal. I'd have to say. This Tuscan baked salmon. That's probably been my favorite.
Are you putting that together, or is someone else in the family putting that together?
Mom is.
I just wanted to make sure we got the shout out to mom. I didn't want you to give the dish. Make sure mom gets her love there, because I'm sure it was a lot of meals. Yep. She was making for you. Brian Cobbs, 2-time guest on this show. We're so happy that you and your teammates are back out on the field. Can't wait to watch you on October 25th, or I guess 24th, but probably will be the 25th, whenever we get that schedule, and watch you in your junior season. Thanks so much for coming on, and stay safe out there, man.
You guys do the same. I appreciate you guys.
Back here on Hear the Turtle, presented by Toyota. And once again, thanks to Brian Cobb. So as he described there, I had a long day, was up with Keith in the early hours of the morning, then had to do more screening, then came back and went out on a full day of practice and gave us his time. Always generous. We love that guy, and want to see him have some success this year as one of the veterans in that wide receiver room. So thanks to Brian. We will continue to have football guests on as we go through this now, September into October football training camp, which is in 2020 is bizarre. That just continues to sound bizarre as I think about us sort of at the beginning of camp now here once again. We'll have all of the movers and shakers from the Maryland football program as we move towards the season. Speaking of movers and shakers, Keith, we had teased a series for a while, starting a month ago. There have been some stop starts with it for some other reasons that we don't need to get into, but we are going to unveil the first Hear the Turtle episode of our Maryland basketball record breakers series on Monday. And that is going to be a multi-platform effort. You'll see a lot of stuff on our Terrapin Hoops Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. And hey, maybe we'll even throw some stuff on TikTok. We'll see. For us on Hear the Turtle, we have gotten the chance to interview some of the all-time greats in Maryland basketball and over the last months. And it has been so fun. And I don't want to set the expectations so high for the first interview in this series, but there's a reason that we started with it. We went about 50 minutes with the general, the all-time great, one of the beloved Terps in the history of the Maryland basketball program. Gravis Vasquez was, for lack of a better way to say it, he was on one for about 50 minutes with us. And we had some fun with that dude, Keith.
One of my favorite interviews we did initially in that first year when we launched the podcast, we talked to Gravis after a donor event. So to get him on again and to spend that 50 minutes with him, and then you and I afterwards, Taylor, just like sitting back and thinking, man, that this is so cool that we get to talk to Gravis about topics like this, and just the passion and just attention to detail with which, you know, he attacks every question. And especially with one like this, when you're kind of going back into these particular moments in games of the records that he set throughout his time at Maryland, and he's got a lot of them. It was cool to hear him expound upon that. But yeah, I think this whole series is kind of tied into using the records just almost as a platform or launching point, just to have these other great conversations that we get to have with all these Maryland basketball players. And let's do this thing. Let's launch it on Monday, man.
Yeah, so Gravis, fantastic. And just to tease out some of the other guests here, it was really great. We kind of went down most of the history of Maryland basketball, to be honest with you, era to era. Talked to Walt Williams, obviously one of the color voices on the Terrapin Radio Network, but one of the all-time great scorers in Maryland history. And Walt's fantastic. We talked to Len Elmore, the rebounding king of Maryland basketball, and obviously such an accomplished individual. So we've had him on the show before, but just great to continue to get some of those old stories. Len's always a great interview and great to talk to. One of my favorites, one was Keith, was talking to the Lewis brothers, the sort of the block kings of Maryland athletics, and kind of in an interesting era coming out of the Bias era, to the Bob Wade era, into Gary Williams, that kind of bridged that whole gap. That was really, really cool. Talk to who? Mike Jones, the single game 3-point leader. There you go. That one hit. Keith laughed. So there it is. And Mike was great and talked so transparently about his career. So hyped coming in. Everyone always talked about, you know, the number two shooting guard behind LeBron James. That's Mike Jones' story. But hit some big shots his freshman year in the ACC championship game against Duke and talked really well about sort of where he is now and all those different things. I think the underrated interview of this series, Keith, is our guy Terrell Stokes, who shares the single game assist record with Gravis Vasquez and told us some sensational stories that I will not spoil here. So make sure you listen to that one. Those are the ones we have lined up right now and still trying to get a couple of other guys to fill out the series. But those are the ones that are going to start it. And these are, if you're a Maryland basketball fan, especially one that's been around for a long time, these span a great amount of eras. And these guys touch on so many different guys. You know, Gravis goes into talking about James Gist and talking about Mike Jones and Eric Hayes. So I think he would take a bullet for, and that was so cool. You know, Mike Jones kind of bridges that same era. Terrell Stokes is that entire sort of Joe Smith and coming out of all that, and Keith Booth and Obinna Keezy and all those different guys in that sort of run in the 90s, Steve Francis. So it was really cool to do, Keith, and I'm excited for people to listen to it.
Monday, man. Can't wait. No, I think you said it all. You know, again, the fact we get to do this thing, talk to these guys and just get transported back to those times when they're in College Park, when they're playing in Coldfield House, when, you know, they're in these big time environments and big time games. And, you know, that, hey, I wasn't at a lot of them, but when you get to talk to the people that were there and that were a part of it, you know, it gives you this history lesson that's just it's unmatched. You know, you can't pay for something like that.
No doubt. And then you said it's a history lesson. That's a really great way to put it right there. So make sure to listen to that on Monday. Make sure to go back and listen to our episode this last Monday with I chatted with Dane St. Clair, the Maryland's national championship winning goalkeeper, and now having some success in MLS. Dane was great with his time as well. But that's enough for this week's episode, the football return episode of Hear the Turtle. With thank you once again to Brian Cobbs for jumping on with us after a long day. You can follow us on all of our social media channels at Hear the Turtle on Twitter and at Hear the Turtle on Instagram. Make sure to now follow Terps Football at Terps Football or at Terps FB on TikTok, but at Terps Football and all the other ones, Maryland Football on Facebook. Cause now that thing's ramping up, man. We got football to to watch and listen to the sights and sounds, of all that different stuff. Follow Keith at Sned311 for all that content. Follow me, Taylor Smite 10 for all my content, and we'll see you next week.
Good Terps.
On Hear the Turtle.